Monster Man, Episode 140, Umpleby and Urchin. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're doing the entire U chapter of The Fiend Folio, the 1981 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we do that, though, I got some listener mail. Stan Radzeski writes about the Thork and the Throat Leech. These could have more to do with one another than you might think. Players might charm a Thork so they have a supply of hot water for things like boiling those pesky throat leeches. And Stan further goes on to suggest that the reason that Thorks have so much platinum in their nests is that they eat it but can't digest it, which kind of suggests that players pawing through Thork droppings in order to get platinum pieces, which they absolutely would do. I'm not 100% convinced about the Thork as a method for dealing with throat leeches. The Thork steam cloud does a good deal of damage, and I'm not sure that just like sticking the nozzle down somebody's throat and squeezing the bird, which I assume is what you do to get it to blast out its deadly cloud of superheated vapor, I feel like that might be one of those cures that's worse than the disease, since for a low-level character, it'll just blow your head clean off. I do like the idea of taming one of those little guys and just like carrying it around essentially as a kind of impromptu flamethrower, but I'm well aware that that's pretty far out on the silliness scale. Okay, let's take a look at the U chapter. Our first monster is the Umpleby. The Umpleby was designed by Steve Wood, and it's a very interesting idea. So an Umpleby is a big, hairy humanoid about 8 feet tall. Basically, it's kind of a Sasquatch. It just follows the party around and is annoying. It doesn't fight, it's not aggressive. It'll fight someone if it's attacked, it won't fight on the party's behalf. It can really mess you up when you're, for example, trying to move silently. Although, paladins do that already. What it does have is the ability to detect gold coins and gems at a distance. How it gained this, who knows. It loves to hoard these things. It just really loves gems and other shiny objects. And if you give it a share of that and you give it food and water, it'll be very loyal to you and it'll help you detect treasure. So it's basically a big, dumb, otherwise useless Sasquatch that follows you around and can detect treasure. Oh, and also, because it's so shaggy, it builds up a static electric charge in its fur, and it can do up to 50 points of damage during a day using this static electricity. And it plaits nets together out of its hair, and it can throw them at people to entangle them, and that's very effective. I feel like the Umpleby is three monsters. Now, there's one monster that makes and throws nets, there's one monster that zaps people with static electricity, and there's one monster that detects coins. It's just a little bit too elaborate. I think you could take at least one of these and possibly two out. Leave in the one about the coins, maybe, and you just have, like, a big dumb Sasquatch that has a really useful ability, but is kind of a nuisance. And that's fun to have the player characters sort of have to manage. The Umpleby wants to follow you around, but there are certain things that you just can't do. Like, you can't attend a delicate negotiation while the Umpleby is blundering around in the background, like, overturning the flower pots and falling asleep and snoring and things like that. And you can't sneak up on some bad guys with the Umpleby galumphing after you. But yet, at the same time, it's extremely useful. And you know what player characters are like. They'll get attached to the big galoot, and then that'll be fun. And maybe you can put in the static electric discharge just so that they're not constantly worried about the Umpleby getting murdered. So like if someone comes up and tries to grab the Umpleby, it can give them a zap. Or if they ever decide to try and kill it themselves, they can suddenly discover that it's not as defenseless as they imagined. But it really does sometimes feel as if these abilities were added later. So it describes the Umpleby as not a very good fighter. You know, it defends itself with D4 damage punches at the beginning of the entry. And then later on, it adds this bit about how, oh yeah, also it can throw out a 50 damage lightning charge. Well, look, either it's not a very good fighter, or it can one-shot a mid-level character. But not both. Admittedly, once it's fired its big gun, it has to spend some time recharging the electricity. So it's not unstoppably deadly, but it's a lot more dangerous than, you know, oh, it's not a very good fighter and you have to look out for it would imply. So this is a fine monster, and I really like, I mean, maybe I just like big bungling galoots, but I definitely can see using the Umpleby in my game. I feel like its ability to detect coins is a bit meta, but, you know, whatever. You can detect treasure. It's like a fairy creature, right? It's a little bit, and it has that fairy tale quality where, you know, it's a big idiot of no obvious value, but if you're nice to it anyway, then it rewards you by helping you find buried treasure. That definitely sounds like something that would happen in a fairy tale. So I like the Umpleby, and I maybe just think you can throw out the net. idea.
I should also say that, like, although it's called the Umpleby, I really feel like this creature's name is Umpleby. You know, there's just one of it, and it's called Umpleby. I think that works a little bit better. Next up, we have the Urchin. Now, this is actually five monsters. They are black, green, red, silver, and yellow urchins. And these are, you know, sea urchins. Except they're not sea urchins at all. I feel like these are what you would get if you showed somebody from a Dungeons & Dragons world a picture of a sea urchin and asked them to describe what qualities it had. Because, and there was no scale on the picture. Because, you know, we all know sea urchins, little spiny boys, don't step on one, but people eat them, and so on. Sea urchins, they do not, as far as I'm aware, shoot their spines out like crossbow bolts, which is what these sea urchins do, nor are there gems inside of them. I'd say that these are very video gamey, except this is really, like, before the era of River City Ransom, where you punch people so hard that they turn into coins. Because this is genuinely a monster that when you kill it, it has valuable jewels inside. Oh, and they're clairvoyant, which I guess is how they hunt their prey, although it says they don't attack humans. So basically, you just have to find out that there are jewels inside these things and then go after them. I feel like these urchins are from some kind of Dying Earth type story where, you know, Kugel wanders into some seaside town where everything is covered in jewels and he's like, where do these precious gems come from? It's like, oh, the fishermen bring them up and they show him an urchin and like they slit it open and there's a gem inside. And so he gets involved in some kind of harebrained get rich quick scheme involving harvesting these urchins and using them to get a bunch of gems, and no one mentions that they shoot out poisonous bolts and that the big ones are like +4 to hit and shoot 4 times around and save versus poison and all that stuff. It's actually quite dangerous. I think that that's like they're a one-off fun encounter in that respect. Again, I always wonder how much time most Dungeons & Dragons parties spend underwater, because the Monster Manual seems to assume there's going to be like Super Mario Brothers. We're just going to get a water level every once in a while. And yeah, Super Mario Brothers doesn't really have all that many water levels, but you know what I mean. It feels like a one-off monster, right? The idea is that you go to this town and this is where all the gems come from, is harvesting these urchins, and maybe something's threatening the urchins or something's harming the urchin fleet and you have to go out and deal with all these spine-shooting, poisonous, gem-filled urchins. Maybe they're just a natural hazard on the way to the lair of the Lokotha, or whatever. It's a little hard to see. I mean, why are they urchins? You know what else they seem like? They seem like, maybe, I said that it's like someone from a Dungeons & Dragons world heard about sea urchins, but maybe it's more like a medieval monk heard about sea urchins, and he heard that they're valuable. And he couldn't imagine that you could eat one of these things, so he's like, oh, they must have money inside them. And, you know, they have spines, so, hey, probably they shoot them out. Like porcupines. I don't know. Medieval monks believe some funny things about porcupines, too. We've seen many monsters in the Monster Manual that come from medieval bestiaries, so this is an example of one that doesn't, as far as I'm aware, but possibly could. I don't know. I started off really not thinking I knew what to do with the urchins, but actually, I think we've got sort of, you know, there are not in Kansas anymore kind of a creature, and we have this plot about the urchin fishermen who bring up gems. And probably, right, no one's going to let this little fishing village just have a bunch of gems all to itself, so it's controlled by some wicked lord, and he's sending all the poor fisher people of the village to go get these gems, but they don't get to keep any for themselves, and a lot of the time they die from the urchin poison. It's a pretty bad place to be from. So yeah, okay, that could be fun. And maybe, you know, there's a rare platinum urchin in there somewhere, which has some fabulous magical gem inside of it, and you have to go rooting through the urchin beds and fighting off pirates and, you know, sneaking past the lord's bully boys and whatever until you get to the special good urchin. Okay, there you go. That's a fun encounter, which really is all you want out of one entry in the Fiend Folio. And that's it for the U chapter. In our next episode, we'll be tackling the first half of the V chapter. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.